Third hour of 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Halfway point. Hope everybody's having a good start to your Monday and your week. Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, will join us in about 40 minutes or so. John Robinson's press conference live we will carry at 1 o'clock. The big news, Titans and Mike Mularkey have mutually agreed to part ways. That is the news in this market. Other news that's out there, Victor Arvidsson hurt in practice today for the Predators. Had trouble leaving the ice, not putting any weight on his leg. Willie, that is not good news with Philip Forsberg out of the lineup.
Boy, we'll just have to wait and see.
They're set to return action tomorrow night coming off their bye week against Vegas here at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, they've got seven of the next eight at home here this month. But you're already without Philip Forsberg, who you hope to get back sooner than later, but it's still going to be the rest of this month for sure before you get him back. So the prospect of having him out and maybe without Arvidsson here, you just got to hope that you can hang in there. Hopefully you get good news.
Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith, expected to be a very, very high draft pick, has told Georgia that he will forego his senior season and enter the NFL draft. Remember we talked about Ken Niumatalolo, Navy's head coach, that they were negotiating a deal for him to be the next Arizona Wildcats coach. That was on Friday's show. Well, what happened over the weekend? Not so fast. They hired Kevin Sumlin. So Kevin Sumlin back in. Now he's going to be in the Pac-12, and he is the new head coach at Arizona. So in the state of Arizona, they have Herm Edwards and Kevin Sumlin as their two college football coaches. Definitely some name recognition, some real star power. Now we'll see if they can get it done in the Pac-12. Now, a lot to do with Jacksonville's win. They deserve that game. They were the better team. They outplayed Pittsburgh from jump. Pittsburgh was playing catch-up the entire game. I was amazed at how pathetic the Steelers look. I question a lot of the calls by Mike Tomlin. I question a lot of the calls by Todd Haley, their OC. Their defense was awful. Their defense was really good this year, really good. Actually, in most categories, they were higher than Jacksonville in most categories. Pittsburgh's defense, very underrated. Got it done this year. Gave up 45 points to Jacksonville at home. But Jacksonville was feeling it in the locker room and on the field after the game. You had Jalen Ramsey talking all kinds of smack, which I just think is silly for these guys to do that. I mean, I didn't like when Kevin Byard made those comments. I didn't like when Jarrell Casey made comments directed at Blake Bortles. And yesterday they were talking to Calais Campbell, and then Malik Jackson jumped in, and here's what he had to say.
He's a great leader, you know, and he loves the game. He makes everybody prepared. And every time he's going out there, he's a true competitor. You know, he has a lot of heart. And people can down him all they want to, but we know what he can do, and he proved it today.
He's a dog. I want to know what Jarrell Casey has to say about him choking in big moments. While you sit at home and watch us next week.
Watch it!
That was Calais Campbell at first talking about Blake Bortles, and then that was Malik Jackson who jumped in there at the end. As much as I like Jarrell Casey, and as important as he is to this team, he deserved every bit of that. I just thought it was dumb for the Titans to make those remarks. Just dumb.
Well, did you see?
And Kevin Byard, as much as I like him, and I think the upside is really, really good for him, he's important to the Titans' defense. I thought his comments about Tom Brady, dumb.
How about this? How about Jalen Ramsey, though? They get back home last night. Did you see this?
There's a huge crowd at Everbank Field.
Right.
Did you see it? A great crowd.
But now Jalen Ramsey has now gone down the road of the Kevin Byard.
Not only are they going to beat New England, he's saying, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bleep.
Which is
make sure you bring that same energy out next week and the week after.
Yeah, which
we are going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bleep.
That's as good as a guarantee.
Well, there's some bulletin board material.
Congratulations.
For the Patriots.
So all that stuff about Tom Coughlin handling this team, well, I guess he didn't have a good handle on it after their victory over Pittsburgh. It's a really good win. Like I said, Jacksonville deserved every bit. I thought Pittsburgh was pathetic yesterday. Absolutely pathetic. Couldn't stop Jacksonville at all. their play calling, pathetic on offense. Those two fourth and short plays, just terrible, right?
What happens with Todd Haley? That's a big
question. I think he's gone. I think he's gone. And Mike Tomlin, to do the onside kick with 2.5 minutes to go.
That was a mistake.
2 minute warning and
that
timeouts?
That was a mistake.
Just dumb.
2 minutes and 18 seconds left, two timeouts. You had Jacksonville, who probably would have been hard-pressed to gamble a whole lot, even though I give Jacksonville credit. The biggest thing that I thought they did well offensively was they had a lot of momentum going against them. That 28-7 lead, all of a sudden, 4th-and-11, touchdown before the half. Opening drive, second half, boom. Now it's 28-21. Now what do you do? They did not go into the shell.
They didn't pucker up.
They did not pucker up. I thought they might fold. And at least, at the very least, their defense was going to have to do an unbelievable job of holding them down. But to their credit, they kept getting first downs. They drove the ball, and they went down and made some plays on offense. They did a tremendous job with that. But still, Mike Tomlin, 2:18 to go. No reason to onside kick. No reason.
I mean, he said we couldn't stop him. I get that, but come on. You don't get it. Look what you're doing, and that's exactly what happened. They didn't get it. Look at the field position. Just dumb. You still have the 2 minute warning.
Couldn't stop them.
So you get an extra timeout, and you have timeouts. It made no sense. Like I said, I don't think Pittsburgh, the way it's constructed, I don't think they're ever going to get back there. They got too many me guys. And quite honestly, I mean, I think there's a lot of people questioning Mike Tomlin, as much as everybody likes him. Boneheaded calls. Todd Haley, I don't think he's coming back. Roethlisberger said he's coming back, but anytime a player starts talking about retirement, I think that's
and
bad.
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell, just silly.
You have to go back to the drawing board again with the contract. What do you do?
Talking about contracts, going into a divisional round of the playoffs. Just
but some of that's on the Steelers.
Silly.
Though.
Just silly. Things you never see the Patriots do, ever. Let me tell you something. In New England, when you start talking about your contract publicly, you know what's going to happen? You're gone.
Usually.
No, you're gone. Goodbye. They ship you off. Goodbye. See you later. Jalen Ramsey, as good as he is, just dumb. Make comments about Tom Brady. Just dumb.
Well, he backs it up. He did it last week, and it worked. So I'm sure he's emboldened to do it again. But this is a different animal.
Yes, it is. It's a little bit different.
I mean, the Steelers have been next to the Patriots, one of the next most successful two or three franchises, mm-hmm. but the Patriots are different.
Let's go to Vic. Vic, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all been?
Good. How about you?
Happy New Year to both of you.
Same to you.
Hey, quick question. Who do you think is going to be the next Titan head coach?
Well, that's what we're all trying to figure out. What do you think?
Would it be one of the Harbaugh brothers?
One of the Harbaugh brothers.
Not the one to Baltimore.
Not John, but Jim?
Yeah.
It'd be a big story.
I mean, you might as well throw Nick Saban in there, right? He's got a Mercedes dealership here.
Hey, you're right. Oh, my God. Do you think that was pre-planned?
His daughter used to be an intern with the Titans.
Here we go. 2020 hindsight. Here we go.
The problem is, Vic, I think it was during the Wisenhunt era, and I don't think she probably had flattering things to say about the organization. Yeah.
Wow, what a shame. maybe it'll be too late then to get Herm Edwards in. By the time he get the Arizona program going, he'll be back at ESPN with you guys.
Yeah. The problem is, if John Gruden got $100 million, what would Nick Saban command?
Ooh.
Yeah.
10-year period.
A lot.
Interesting.
Well, we'll talk about it.
Great talking with you guys.
Thank you, Vic.
Bye-bye.
It looks like Patricia is slated to, I mean, it's all but done, to be Detroit's next head coach. The Colts have made no secret. Chris Ballard, their GM, is certainly in the Josh McDaniels sweepstakes. The Giants, Pat Shurmur could be a real candidate there. Could be a real landing spot for him.
I think the number one question is, can John Robinson make a play for Josh McDaniels to the point where Josh McDaniels says to the Colts, who have, I think, been working it and trying to, he appears to be the guy they want, right? Is that fair to say? By according to a lot of reports,
yep.
The Colts really want McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's John Robinson who is trying to, I don't know, in the sixth or seventh inning of this process, say, wait a minute, you need to take a look over here. Mike Vrabel, in the meantime, according to John McClain, who's, of course, dialed in down in Houston, is saying that they will interview Mike Vrabel as well. Maybe that's the plan B question that you're looking at. But we're going to talk to Ian Rappaport at 12:45. We'll see what he knows. He's been on this now. The smoke started coming from him, really, when you get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a background in New England. This will be hopefully pretty insightful at 12:45.
He was kind of the ringleader of this story going into the Rams game. Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter also jumping on board, but Ian Rappaport has been the one that's been, like I said, the ringleader of this. Now, for those who have been asking me on Twitter, my answer is not going to change. The chances of Bill Belichick coming here, same answer today as it'll be tonight, as it'll be tomorrow morning, as it'll be at lunchtime tomorrow, 0.0%. Not even 0.1%.
He was born in Nashville.
0.0%. Until he is at the podium over at the Titans facility, it will always be my answer.
0.0.
I would have to say, I don't even care if people say they see him at Calhoun's. It's still
0.0.
He was born in Nashville.
I'm not even sure if you tell me, I get it. If he's running in the marathon with Peyton Manning, my answer is still going to be
0.0.
Bill Belichick is not going to be the next
His
head coach.
His dad was an assistant
Titans.
At Vanderbilt.
0.0.
By the way, he was like 6 months old when his dad was an assistant at Vanderbilt. He was
no,
infant.
He was one. I think
he
I
was
think
an infant.
He was here for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and then they moved away.
I've had a lot of those tweets this morning and last night, or not this morning, excuse me, and throughout the day. Bill Belichick is not coming to be the next head coach of the Titans. Like I said, until he's at the podium and John Robinson introduces him, and I'm there, and I can see him with my own eyes, Bill Belichick's chances of being the next Titans head coach is
0.0.
Ian Rappaport at 12:45. More 3D next. So I posed this earlier, Willie. What do they have? Because they're going to have to make tough decisions on Marcus Mariota, and we believe this is probably at the root of a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
The development or lack of in year three. They're going to have to stroke a huge check to Marcus Mariota in the near future. What do you think they have in Marcus Mariota, and what do you think they have in Marcus Mariota? They
okay.
may be the same answers, but they may be totally different.
I think they believe that there's another gear and another level they can get him to if they play to his strengths a little bit more. It'll be interesting to hear what Tim Hasselbeck has to say later this week about that very thing, because he hinted at it. Remember when they really went through the funk, the Arizona game being the peak of it, they did play well the next week in San Francisco, but they really hit a patch where they were struggling, and it never looked like that offense was running smoothly on all cylinders. But I think they really feel like there's another level they can get Mariota to if they tweak the philosophy a bit. I also think the other key piece in this is what happens to Derrick Henry in this next coaching staff. I think he's a guy that also has a very high ceiling that he hasn't reached yet.
Well, I think it's still an incomplete. I mean, I think they're both incompletes. So I think there's times.
But those two guys.
They both look like they're the guys. And then there's times when you go, huh, I'm not sure they are the guys.
I think if you look at the investment they've made in their offense, and we've said this, I've said this 100 times before, but Mariota, Derrick Henry, a second rounder, who at the time was considered sort of a luxury. They had DeMarco Murray. You're saying to yourself, do you really need Derrick Henry? They took him in the second round when they could have gone defense. They took him. Corey Davis, a couple of third-round picks, and Taywan Taylor and Jonnu Smith. You've got your bookends at tackle. One of them has a torn ACL. But you see where I'm going. The investment in this offense and the return hasn't been equal. So I think they feel like there's more they can get out of that group. But it all starts with Mariota, Henry, and Corey Davis. Those three guys in particular. If they can take a jump forward, just think about what the results could be. Do you agree?
Boy, I like Jonnu Smith, but man, he has got to cut down on his penalties. Holy cow. It's like every time. It's like, oh,
the false 80, starts.
81.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, here we go. It's going to be 81. I can feel it. Like him.
Yeah.
I like his upside, but man, he's got to cut down on his penalties.
I think there's room to grow there, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not ready to throw him out with the bathwater.
Right, right.
But
this is again, when you change
with penalties.
When you change your coaching staff, whoever this new group of new sets of eyes are coming in, what can they do with them? I think John Robinson 100% believes that they can do better. Otherwise, they would not have made this change. They would not have gone down this road.
Yeah. Let's go to Ryan in Spring Hill. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just, you know, there's a lot of potential jobs out there. And, you know, one of the things you guys talked about this a little bit ago, as far as there are a couple jobs out there that actually have some pretty marquee quarterbacks, maybe haven't quite proven themselves yet. Obviously, Eli Manning, but he's on the downside. But you have a high draft pick where you could bring somebody in. But you guys were talking a little bit earlier about, I think you were talking about Josh McDaniels, and you were comparing it a little bit of, you know, it's a done deal because Robinson and McDaniel and all that stuff. And then, well, what's a better job right now? Is it the Colts? You have Andrew Luck, who a lot of people think is a franchise quarterback, can't stay healthy, it seems like, for a little while. Or is Mariota, you know, who a lot of people, you know, you guys were talking about ceilings there with Derrick Henry and whatnot. And what do you think, if you had to choose between those two jobs, what is the best job there?
Good question, Ryan. Thank you for the call. You know, that's what Josh McDaniels is probably going to have to answer to himself.
Well,
and whoever he talks to away from these interviews. He's already interviewed with the Colts. He's already interviewed with the Giants. He hasn't interviewed with the Titans yet because he's been working. And the Titans have been playing. So this just happened. But right now, answer that question. Moving forward, who is going to give you in the next 5 years, who's going to be the better quarterback, Andrew Luck or Marcus Mariota?
I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the one. That's question number one that you have to get into, right?
Because the obvious answer is, oh, Andrew Luck. Well, no, not so fast. But, yeah. You don't know what he's going to be. Is he ever going to return to form? Is he always going to be hurt? You know, we have plenty of examples in sports, not just football, where great players, they just could never get over the injuries, and it plagued them their entire career, which usually shortened their career, and it's always, they were great, but... Are we going to say that about Andrew Luck?
I think that's a very important question for Josh McDaniels. But I think the other parts to the equation are equally as important as a whole. Number one, if I'm John Robinson, here's what I'm selling. Look at our cap space. We got a lot of cap space. We already have a roster that has some pieces, right? We don't have an aging roster. This is not a group that is on the way out. Although, Brian Arakpo, Derek Morgan, Wesley Woodyard. There are some guys who are getting a little long in the tooth here.
Aging.
But for the most part, it's a roster that has a pretty good foundation already built, and you have a lot of cap space to work with to try to improve on it. I think that's the sell, is that this is a roster that is just, I'm just getting this thing started. If you trust me, we go back a long way. This is where you want to be. The Colts, they're in a transition, right? I don't know as much about their roster. I don't look at their roster as a group that has a good foundation of talent. Do you?
Okay,
who are their young up-and-coming players?
Titans, let's quickly just do a checklist. Which box are you going to check? Offensive line.
Titans, no doubt.
Running backs.
Titans, no doubt.
Tight ends.
Delanie Walker's getting up there.
Yeah, but are you going to really – I mean, Jack Doyle's nice.
That's
but,
a wash at best.
Delanie, it's still – still today, it's checkmark Titans.
Okay.
Wide receivers.
Well, T.Y. Hilton is a very good wide receiver.
More proven than anybody else for the Titans.
Yeah.
Fair?
Got to go with that.
Slight checkmark to them.
But do they have a Corey Davis? I don't know.
But for today.
For today, it's
today,
the Colts.
Defense.
No doubt about it. Well, I shouldn't say no doubt about it. I do think, though, with Byard, with Logan Ryan, with Adoree Jackson, there's a foundation. They're further along in the Titans. True? Who are the Colts' young, up-and-coming players on defense?
That's why I'm playing this game. They barely win any check marks at all. Indy is not the more attractive job.
I don't think
so. But if you knew, which nobody's going to know, if you had the assurances, Andrew Luck is going to be the Andrew Luck that they drafted moving forward. He's coming back 100%, will never have issues again. Of course, once you have that guy, then it changes everything. Nobody can answer it that way. Nobody. Nobody knows. And so with that huge question mark out there, there's no way you can make the case that Indy is a better job than the Titans.
Now, this would be his second year.
Chris Ballard can change it, just like John Robinson.
But he hasn't. John Robinson's had 2 years to build the foundation, and he's done a tangibly good job. You can go down the list. They've drafted pretty well. They picked up some nice free agents. They've got some pieces that are improving. It's incomplete. It's not there yet. But it's further along than the Colts.
It looks better than Mike Reinfeld and Rustin Webster. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. In a short amount of time.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But I don't think
Do you need more time to think about that?
You know what I'm saying, though. Josh McDaniels, he knows that about John Robinson going in. But, again, now he's got some leverage. McDaniels can just sit back and he's got to worry about the Jacksonville Jaguars defense this week.
That's why
he doesn't have to make this decision right now.
Everybody out there thinking, we've already fielded a call or two on it. Everybody thinking, oh, Indy, if you have your choice, you're going in. No, there's nothing you can really make a case for Indy other than the franchise quarterback, and you can't prove, nobody knows, moving forward, what you have in him. Now, you may like the backup quarterback better. Okay, check mark Indy. Jacoby Brissett is way better than anything the Titans have, but they're going to have to address that in the offseason, clearly. Right? I mean, that has got to be a high priority. And going back to what I said about the running backs in New England, I think they do need to take that approach. It works for them. They need a change of pace back. They need guys. They need bodies. If New England can pull it off, why can't Tennessee? Think about it. They've always done this. LeGarrette Blount had 19 touchdowns last year. Who was the guy in the Super Bowl that was the difference maker for New England on offense?
James White.
Had nothing to do with LeGarrette Blount. He had 19 touchdowns. He's not the reason they came back and won the Super Bowl. They've always had Corey Dillon. We can go, right? The list goes
Kevin
on.
Falk.
They've always had a Kevin Falk type, a change of pace guy. They always get those guys. White, Lewis, Burkhead. Gillislee. By the way, Gillislee was the guy the first month of the season. They brought him in. Everybody was Mike Gillislee. Mike Gillislee has been out of sight, out of mind, been on a milk carton in Foxborough for the last 10 weeks. Nowhere to be found. But that doesn't faze them. It's next guy up. Hell, they brought back Brandon Bolden Saturday night to help beat the Titans. Brandon Bolden, I didn't even know he was on the roster. Did you?
Nope.
I remember him when he was in New England. I didn't even know he was still on the roster.
Of all the guys I thought that you had to worry about, he was not on my list.
They have to. I think the Titans, if they are indeed moving forward without DeMarco Murray, and it's going to be Derrick Henry's team, they have to get more running backs. All kinds
Absolutely.
Of different running backs.
But you can find those guys. I think that's what That's what the Patriots have done
you
well.
Know what's interesting,
I think it's
though,
easier to find the
Willie,
complimentary
the
third
though.
Down. The Titans haven't, but why?
What? Did, why? It's a great
because
question.
Because John Robinson hasn't been there very long.
Okay, but what did Tom Brady do very effectively? When you think about it, he didn't carve up the Titans, D. What was he doing? A ton of dumping, right? Just little dumps. He's just dumping it off. That's all he's doing. He's just don't. Why have the Titans never really done that?
It hasn't been part of their offensive
Isn't that amazing?
Scheme. It really hasn't been
They've
part of their offensive
They've never
been
a team that throws the screen or just little dumps it to the running back, a little scat back, and takes off downfield.
The screen game decimated the Titans in that game.
Yeah. And the Titans have never really done that, ever.
No.
Why?
That's a good question, but I think going forward, that's something you have to look at. Because I don't know. I mean, Derrick Henry can be effective. We saw him. He scored the biggest play of their season was his touchdown against
the
Jaguars.
Though. That's not what I'm talking about. You need a different guy. You need
on third down, I agree with you. But on first and second down, I think he can be a reasonable
What did the
receiver.
Saints do in the third round?
Okay. Right? That's a perfect example. But you definitely need somebody who offers a different skill set than Henry. Every team does.
Mark Ingram. You already had that big workhorse running back.
But what's the other thing?
You bring in Adrian Peterson in the offseason.
But what's the other thing, though?
They go draft
the
Alvin
Patriots,
Kamara.
But, right. That was nice. But how does it work with the Patriots, though? Why do they have all these other guys? Because what do they also do? Special teams.
Yep.
If you carry five running backs, those guys have to play special teams.
And that's okay. Okay.
So you're looking for that element as well.
New England and others have made that work.
Yeah.
Like I said, they never have a featured back. It's incredible. They never have a featured back. They change. It's like every month it's a new running back for the Patriots. Like I said, one thing they don't tolerate is fumbling. If the running back fumbles for New England, he will not play the rest of the game. He'll be lucky if he's back starting the next week. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ian Rapoport, NFL Network. He was really kind of the ringleader to this story for the last 3 weeks about Mike Mularkey. But, Willie, first you have a word about Lee Company.
All right. And, of course, after Ian Rapoport, we will have John Robinson's press conference at 1. That will be very, very intriguing based on the last 24 hours. Let me tell you about Lee Company in the meantime for the next 60 seconds because this is an important point. You might be out there right now and there's more bitterly cold weather coming here in the next couple of days, maybe even a little bit of snow. Sometimes that puts pressure on not just your heating unit, but maybe other things in your house. Maybe you've got some windows that need fixing. You got that breeze coming through, the cold air is coming in, your house isn't sealed properly, things like that. All you've got to do is call Lee Company. They're one phone call away. They've got helpers for all of those things. General maintenance, heating, cooling, plumbing, electric, all of the above. Lee Company, 567-1000 is the number. That's 567-1000. Or you can go online and make an online appointment at leecompany.com. At home or at work, Lee Company has your needs filled by just picking up the phone and dialing them up. 567-1000. They're a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators, it's Lee Company. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Back here on 3D, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Coming up at the top of the hour to kick off the fourth hour, we will carry John Robinson's press conference live over at the Titans facility. Now, we've been saying it all day. We've been talking about this story for several weeks now, and kind of the ringleader, the one that's been out in front of the story all along is Ian Rapoport, who is the national insider for NFL Network and NFL.com. He now joins us. Ian, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Well, obviously not the show that we thought we were going to do today, but things do change.
Nope.
And obviously things change for Mike Mularkey and John Robinson and the Titans organization as they mutually agree to part ways. What happened? You've been reporting this story for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how mutual it was, but I know that was how the story originally came out. I'm not sure that was exactly the case. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I can remember a story with this many twists and turns. I mean, this is a situation where, you know, my understanding was the Titans were going to fire him when he lost week 17. And I actually decided before that to fire him, then he won. We're going to fire him even after the playoff game, when they lost, except they didn't lose, they won. And then before the loss to the Patriots, I think it was the morning of. It was either the morning of the day before. John Robinson and Steve Underwood walked into Mularkey's office and told him that they were going to extend him and that he was the guy going forward. Went out, and they said it would be done after the game. Went out, coached the game. I got word last night that they were offering him an extension, which obviously was an indication that he was staying. And then the conversations they had broke down where it related to the coaching staff and the quarterback position. I'm not 100% sure, but my assumption is that involved the potential firing an offensive coordinator that Mularkey did not want to do.
Both of us have been covering this team, Ian, since they landed on Nashville soil. So we've been at it for a long time, and certainly we were both doing this when Mike Munchak. It feels exactly like Mike Munchak. They were.
Yes, it does. Gearing, that's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah, they're gearing up for an extension, but they want him to make staff changes, and Mike Munchak says, no way. My staff is good enough. We proved it, and I'm not firing my staff. I believe in them, and of course, as you said, mutually parted ways. It's never mutually. They parted ways. So do you think that's at the core of this again, staff changes? And Mike Mularkey said, my staff just went to the division round of the playoffs. They're good enough. I'm keeping them.
Yeah, that is. I don't know that for a fact, but that is, as it was explained to me, what happened. And, you know, it's interesting. Last night I was seeing some of the tweets from the press conference from some of the beat writers, and, you know, it was sort of quickly addressed, like, yeah, you know, I don't expect staff changes, offensive coordinator. And that was before I'd gotten the news of the extension, and I was like, huh, well, that's not good. And then, you know, a couple hours later, I get word that they had offered him an extension. I was like, oh, well, I guess the front office decided that was okay. And obviously there was a disconnect there in my brain because these things were not okay. And the fact that he came out so quickly and said he was not going to make changes was not good. And, you know, part of the problem here is we can judge Mike Mularkey and his coaching staff on the results and how they did on the field. The problem is the players are good. They have good talent. John Robinson does a really good job, as far as just stocking this roster. So, yeah, I think they are pretty good. The quarterback has not improved like anyone wanted, and they think better coaches can make him a better player, and I would probably agree.
Okay, building off of that, so that's certainly at the core of this as well, right? This is about the development or lack of in year three. He took a step forward year one to year two, did not take the step forward in year three, took a step backwards.
Right.
So that's, since you've been reporting, as you said, going back to the Jacksonville game, that's really what's at the core of this, is just the, you know, lack of development of the franchise quarterback?
That is a big part of it, yeah. Like, for instance, you know, I know all was not well with Mularkey, although he was definitely well thought of it as far at the ownership level. You know, but if he had said, you know, I'm going to make a change in offensive coordinator, bring in the best guy to develop Mariota in this offense, I'm not definitely saying that he was going to stay, but I think he would have had a chance.
Ian Rappaport is with us. He is with the NFL Network. Ian, so let's look at the Josh McDaniels factor. It's pretty easy to, you know, connect the dots and say John Robinson goes way back with Josh McDaniels. But right now, where we sit, what would be the strategy, and especially with Josh McDaniels still coaching the Patriots who are still active, how does that work? How does he make his play here, and what are the realistic chances?
First of all, the timing makes it difficult. January 28th is when they can interview coaching candidates who are still playing. So that would be Josh. And that's tough because you're not even going to, you know, if the fix was in, if they were definitely going to interview him, then this would all be a sham. If they were definitely going to hire him, this would all be a sham. I'm not sure that is the case. I know the Colts are definitely down the line with Josh. I know there was strong mutual interest reported that with Tom Pelissero like an hour ago. And we'll see if the Titans can break through. But I don't think it's going to be a slam dunk with Josh McDaniels. Having to wait is difficult. Plus, you know, there's a lot of other ways to get the quarterback position better, and it's not just hiring the best offensive head coach. It could be hiring the best defensive head coach who's going to bring along great coordinators. A lot of different ways to do this.
Well, that brings us to Mike Vrabel, who I know you, among another A number of other reporters have put him out there that he is going to interview. So tell us where Vrabel do you think might be ready. What's the argument for him to be a good head coach?
You know, it's interesting because he is a good man. He was a very good player. Pretty good coordinator. I wouldn't say, you know, set the world on fire in Houston. Had some injuries, but, you know, scheme is definitely simpler than it was with Romeo Crennel. As a position coach in college at Ohio State, it didn't seem like he did a great job. And yet everybody wants to talk to him because, to me, this isn't about being a great coordinator. It's about leadership, and this is a guy who can lead. And you can hire a very good defensive coordinator. You can hire a great offensive coordinator. The really good head coaches, you sort of forget what their specialty is. I think Vrabel is a really good leader, and he can relate to players because, you know, he did it at such a high level, and he probably still could kick most of their asses. So I think it's definitely a hire to keep an eye on.
Do you think John Robinson is determined to go with somebody with Patriot ties? Do you think that is something he would like to do in a perfect world?
I think he would like to hire someone who he knows and has experience with. You know, half the freaking world has Patriots ties. You know, Mike Vrabel hasn't been a Patriots assistant ever, right? I don't think he ever was a Patriots assistant, if I remember correctly. But he was a Patriots player. You know, there's so many with Patriots ties. I think he probably just would like to go with someone he knows just because building a trust is so hard and you sort of need that. But there are certainly a lot of options who have some Patriots ties in their past.
Other than the obvious of, yes, it's one of 32 jobs in the world, get that. You talk to people all around the league. Do the outsiders view the Titans job, the Titans franchise, as a good job?
Yes.
Why?
Absolutely, 100%. Talent is really good. Quarterback has potential to be very good. John Robinson has a really good reputation. Everybody loves Nashville, and so do I. I look forward to my oldest son getting into Vanderbilt in 15 years so they can move down to Nashville. What? That's normal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're on board.
But, Ian, you've got the contact. All you got to do is talk to your man, Josh Cooper, right? Our guy. He's the Vanderbilt guy. He knows
that's
people.
Right. I some of the high-powered people I know with Vanderbilt ties. This is a very good job. It is a very, very good job. And it's the kind of thing where someone could come in and win immediately. You know, I wouldn't say this was the top job because it's hard to say that when I think Detroit's really good too. Good, but man, this is an attractive place to coach.
Ian, part of the process, as we know, with the Rooney Rule would be to interview minority candidates. Who are some of the best minority candidates that are out there right now that now with, you know, with some of these job openings are at least going to get a look?
Well, you know, Steve Wilkes is a good place to start. You know, he's in the mix of the Giants. He's in the mix of the Cardinals. He is a very respected leader, similar to Vrabel. Doesn't have Patriots ties, but is considered to be very, very good. You know, if they are, you know, open to or interested in a defensive coach, I would say that would be a pretty good place to start. I don't know if he knows John Robinson, but that would be a pretty good place to start.
Okay, go on.
You know,
go ahead.
There's definitely others, but, you know, Terrell Austin has been interviewed several times. He has a defensive coordinator job, presumably not going to interview this time. Not a great list, unfortunately.
Along the lines of what I asked you, if Josh McDaniels, if it came down to the Titans or the Colts, which one would you view as the better job moving forward?
To me, you know, the Titans probably is better. And that was, you know, what I was told all along was that Josh wanted the Titans. But I'm not so sure now because I know there's mutual interest in the Colts and he's got a strong relationship with Chris Ballard, the GM. So I'm not sure which way it's going to go now. But I think the Colts are still very much in the picture.
All right, Ian, leave us with this. Now that we've gone with this backwards and forwards, it was certainly an interesting weekend, but where were you seated when the pass was caught by Mr. Diggs yesterday. What was your perspective? Were you there? Where were you?
No, I don't travel to games just so I can be in front of a TV when crazy stuff happens. I was in my basement. I have three TV set up there. It was bath time for our boys, and all I needed to do was go up and start bath time. And I kept going, just hang on, like tell my wife, just hang on. There's like 20 seconds left. I'll be right up. And then I didn't move for a while. I've never seen anything like that. And I don't, you know, he should have gone out of bounds. He was trained to go out of bounds. The Vikings coaches thought he had stepped out of bounds. I don't understand why he didn't. And it turned into one of the most amazing plays we've seen.
No doubt about it. I was in the same boat. Just give me another minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. This game is almost over.
Yeah.
This is the last play.
Crazy.
Oof. Yep. Hey, really appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Ian Rapoport, you can see him throughout the week on NFL Network, up to the minute, 3 o'clock Central and NFL Total Access at 6 p.m. Central Time. Good to talk to him. Pretty interesting what he said. Like, I know it's always, of course it's attractive because it's an NFL head coaching job, but not all jobs in the NFL are viewed as great jobs. He was pretty quick to say yes.
It's a lot different than it was when the job was open for Mike Mularkey, I think. Just because the roster, the cap space, there's just a lot to like where they were starting from scratch when John Robinson and Mike Mularkey were first named 2 years ago. True?
I think you could even go back a step further. It was viewed even differently when the hire of Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah. I mean, you were. It had to get worse before it got better at that point.
Still, I don't think was viewed because at that point it was kind of a rudderless ship.
Yes.
Although Tommy Smith was in charge at that point, which is still kind of scary to say out loud.
Right.
And it cost him with that hire. Oh, we will come back. John Robinson live, his press conference. We will carry that for the fourth and final hour of 3D. That's next.